Harih Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryankaravavahai Tejasvinavaditamastamavirvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, page 54. Vijaya. What is meant by associating with devotees who are peaceful, elevated, and have similar spiritual sentiments to oneself, the 62nd limb? Raghunath Das Babaji. One cannot advance spiritually if one associates with non-devotees, even if one rubber stamps them as devotees. A sincere devotee always desires to enter and engage in the transcendental service of the eternal, supramundane pastimes of Sri Krishna. This is the hallmark of a true bhakta, devotee. Amongst the bhaktas, those who are more elevated than oneself should be sought out, because association with them enhances one's own quality of bhakti. Otherwise, the growth of bhakti will be arrested, and one will be gradually dragged down to the same level of the persons with whom one is associating. Right? So similar spiritual sentiments means they have the same drive, same desire to serve the Lord. Right? Does that make sense?
So it's not necessarily specifically the activities like pujari or...
No. It's just the same kind of enthusiasm. Yeah. That's the point. If that enthusiasm is there, that same kind of... Then that's what's nice.
All right. Did you say before that they have to be of the same nature as you as well, so you have to think in common?
Well, but here he's mentioning that this main... The thing that you're looking in common is that their desire to engage in pure devotional service. That's your main element. Then other is that means, in other words, the nature that they have you can relate to and you're comfortable in. Within that, does that make sense? But the most important is that they're enthusiastic in devotional service, because no matter what the nature is, then you'll find their association is nice. Mm-hmm. Is that okay? Vijaya, how is Namakirtan defined, the 63rd limb? Raghunath Das Babaji. Nama is a transcendental spiritual entity without the slightest trace of materialism. With the wholehearted devotional attitude, the devotees should chant Hari Nam individually and congregationally. Right, so it means Namakirtan means the Shuddha Nam, like that. Vijaya. Srila Gurudev, by your mercy you have already understood the purport of residing in Mathura, the birthplace of Sri Krishna, or a place where Sri Krishna reveals his pastimes, only for the purpose of Krishna Bhakti, the 64th limb. Now we would like to know the essence of all these 64 limbs of bhakti that you have so kindly explained. Raghunath Das Babaji, the last five of the 64 limbs we have just discussed constitute the topmost activities of bhakti. If any devotee can even sparingly perform these activities without offense, he is very quickly elevated to the platform of Bhava Bhakti upon the strength of their spiritual potency. Footnote 8. It is stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 22, 133-134, the power of these five principles is very wonderful and difficult to understand. Even without faith in them, a person who is offenseless can awaken his dormant love of Krishna simply by being a little connected with them. When one is firmly fixed in devotional service, whether he executes one or many processes of devotional service, the waves of love of Godhead will awaken. Right, so that's the advantage of these five. These are the best of the direct activities. So even if one doesn't really have faith, but one's doing it without offense, right? So one will, it will awaken love of God, like that. It's very, they're very good. Yes.
How do we understand without offense? Can we make offenses? I mean, without kind of wanting to, or.
Well, it's without offense means someone just comes and they don't know what's going on, but they're taking part in it and they're not, you know, criticizing or have any, you know, materialistic opinions about it. It's just, it's nice, but they don't really know. They don't have that faith. In other words, the person who is only on the platform of bhakti sukriti, so they haven't developed that faith, but they will still advance. They will still benefit.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Sometimes people try to be like pleasing, but because they're not very elevated in Krishna consciousness or overall, they kind of make offenses because they try to sound intelligent. And
so, is it offenses or they're just disturbing?
Yeah.
See, you know what I'm saying? So there's a difference.
Yeah, exactly.
Because just because they annoy us doesn't mean it's offensive.
That's the point. That was my question.
Yeah, but we take the anything that we don't like, that's offensive.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know.
That would be a lot of offenses.
Yeah. So it's just, you know. Yes.
Isn't it the case that if you don't know something that's committing sin, but then if you know it's offense, it's worse than sin?
I don't quite catch.
Well, I don't know. That's my understanding, but I'm just trying to clarify.
No. But I'm just saying I don't quite catch the context.
You know what you're doing.
Oh, okay. Just say that you step over a maha flower.
Okay.
And you don't know.
Okay.
And you're not being offensive. You're not knowing that you're committing that offense. So what's that?
It means there's some reaction for that.
Yeah.
Because you should be more aware. But it's not like you step over and don't care. You know what I'm saying?
But is that a sinful activity?
It's not sinful. Sinful means doing things that are against the Vedic rules. Right? It means you're following the Vedic rules, that's pious. You're not following like that, that's sinful. Right? Does that make sense?
But what about if you don't even know?
Then it doesn't mean you don't get a reaction. The little kids know the effect of sticking their finger in the fire? You understand? They get burnt anyway. It's just the way it is. But the point is the reaction may be less for someone who doesn't know, but it still it doesn't mean that it won't be there. Because the idea is one should be more conscious. Right.
So, should people should devotees read as many books as possible to find out what offense they're committing so that they don't?
No, it's pretty standard. It's just in the Nectar Devotion, there's that chapter on the 32 Seva Aparadhas and the 10 Nama Aparadhas. That's it. There's not more.
Okay.
It's just that's it. I mean, it's enough. You know, it's like, you know, you don't require more than that. You know. But that's what it is. It's just those standard ones. Because those are just the ones that just aren't useful in devotional service or things that bother, you know. It's dark, you don't touch the deities. Just like if it's dark, you don't like it if somebody touches you, you know. Like that, you're just standing there. The lights go off and then somebody, you know, touches you on the back. You don't know what it is. So the deities, you just don't touch. You know, just little things like that. They're just... These are the things. You don't just think, well, I'm doing my service and all that, but the Lord's a person. Therefore, these things are considered. Does that make sense? You know, you may not care about it, but he does. You know, like that. He has a better nose than us, so, you know, we think it's okay, but it doesn't smell good. You know, stuff like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Revered Guruji, Vijaya, revered Guruji, kindly instruct us in whatever more we should know about sadhana bhakti. Right? So now those are the 64 of them. We have what's the archana, what's the general rules that are obvious, and then the last five which are obvious, but at the same time those are the most important. So associating with devotees, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting, living in the Dham, and worshipping the deity. Those are the five main ones. Raghunath Das Babaji, the devotional limbs described here offer certain superfluous, subsidiary, non-devotional results that are mentioned in the scriptures. But in principle, those results are propounded only to attract and motivate the worldly-minded to engage in bhakti. By contact with the transcendental purity of bhakti, the materialistic predilection of the worldly-minded will be gradually transformed into the real and primary consequence of bhakti, attachment to the lotus feet of persons. Okay, so in other words, many, let's see, unless he gives it from, okay, he's not giving something more. So in other words, this, there's pious benefits that come from these activities along with the devotional, right? But those pious things aren't actually the point of the rule. The rule is meant so that we engage in pure devotional service. So those who have that materialistic tinge, they'll be attracted by those aspects. Oh, it's very renounced, or it's very pious, or that's very devotional, or all these different kinds of things that we may take like that. So it attracts the attention, and it gets us involved in. Then we get the actual benefit. Does that make sense? But the real point is all these different rules are here simply to see that we're engaged body, mind, and words in the Lord's service. That's all they're actually there for. Yes?
So if you're performing a service and you're not actually, just say you're making a food offering and you're not actually there, like you're bothered with something, so you're still going to do it. But how much does that just give you the pious?
No, it means devotional, because it is a devotional activity. It's saying that some of these other things are there to attract the attention.
But if you're not being devotional at the time.
But it's still, you're engaged in devotional activity.
Okay.
But you'll get less benefit than if you were conscious. It means devotional service, you always get benefit. But the better the consciousness, the more benefit.
Devotional benefit, not material benefit.
No, devotional benefit.
Okay.
Just like what we're saying. The person comes along and sees the Ratha Yatra, they don't know what it is or anything, but they're getting devotional benefit. Does that make sense? Yeah. Means what he's saying is that, because he's asking, is there anything else? Whatever we should know. So many times it says that by going to Mangalartik, one's purified of millions of lifetimes of sin. That's only there because of the materialistic aspect, that we want to be purified and be freed from sin so that there'll be less suffering and all that. But the real point is Mangalartik, you're there with the deity, you can interact with the deity and sing and please the deity. That's the real point. So the devotees are going there not because they get purified of sin, but because it's pleasing to the Lord. Does that make sense? That's what it's meaning. Yes.
Do you get devotional benefit by engaging in indirect service without being aware?
You get devotional benefit by engaging in indirect service without being aware.
Yes. If you're driving someone, you're a materialist, you're happier with materialism, and you're driving some devotee or something, and it's not actually...
But you're driving him for what?
Yeah, that's... I mean, for some spiritual program or something.
Okay. Yeah, why wouldn't you get better benefit?
So I'm trying to distinguish between direct, like Bhagavad service and
it means the point is anything connected to Krishna you get benefit. You always get benefit. That's the point. See, we discuss the indirect because the indirect is only there because of our particular conditioning. So we're involved in a certain kind of circle of activities. Well, direct, that's one's doing those because one's a devotee. It's not that I'm a grihastha because I'm a devotee. Right? You know, I'm a grihastha. I would be a grihastha anyway. So I'm engaging that in the Lord's service. So any connection with the Lord, one always gets benefit. right? Does that make sense? You know, but chanting, you know, these other activities, those are directly devotional. You know what I'm saying? Means the grihastha, the materialist, he's a grihastha, and he's doing all the same activities. But he's not getting any spiritual benefit because they're not connected to the Lord. You know what I'm saying? But that same person, you know, happens to be there at a kirtan, he's getting the benefit anyway, even though he doesn't know what's going on. Does that make sense? Like that. So anything that has some connection is there. Does that make sense? Yes.
This is a bit of a stupid question. I was just wondering, when you see the pilgrims and they're grabbing the lamp, they're really going for that lamp. Are they getting something out of it more than what we are?
The point is they have this faith that you get some serious benefit from taking the remnants from the deities, so therefore they're very enthusiastic. See, because also the standard thing in India is you go to the lamp, not the lamp comes to you. You know, we stand there and the lamp comes up to each one and all that, and you know, you have your printout of, you know, exactly who's how many minutes more senior than the others. So then you're going around the temple room and on out like this, and then you know, like this, doing all those kind of stuff, you know. You know, of course, because that's what the Pancharatra said. You have to get, you know, the brand newest neophytist person in the temple to do that, right? You know, because that's the rule, right? So that's not there. The tradition in India is the lamp just moves through the crowd and everyone goes to the lamp like that. So in India that's the way it was always practiced before, but now it's kind of like this Western system of standing there and having it come to you, then, you know, like that. But otherwise that would be the thing. Before it would just, it went up one side and went down the other. So then as it went up, then people would move in and take, then move down the other, then they would get. But because the locals don't quite know what's happening, they just know when the lamp goes, you go to it. So they don't know there's a strict, you know, hierarchy there. You know, and so then they just, you know,
they go for it.
Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, rugby or something. Yeah. You know, the devotional. I mean, the Pradeep scrum, right? Yes.
Are these superfluous benefits like the weeds which grow up along with the bhakti creeper?
They can be if you don't connect it all nicely to Krishna. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Means like one has a particular activity you're doing for Krishna, but if you're attached to the activity, that's a weed. So say you're managing for Krishna, so you're getting all the benefits of managing for Krishna and that, but at the same time, so you're attached to management, that's also a weed. So at some point, the weed has to go. It doesn't mean management has to go. It just means that your attachment to it has to go. So sometimes if you hold on too tight as it's being thrown out, you go with it. So one should try to avoid that. It's more pleasant if you... You know, how you say, let go willingly. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, Maya's good. She knows how to break any attachment. She's like that. Okay. By contact with the transcendental purity of bhakti, the materialistic predilection of the worldly minded will be gradually transformed to the real and primary consequence of bhakti, attachment to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. See, because this is being looked at from the platform of prema is the standard. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Not that we're here and prema's way over there. No, prema's the standard. So therefore, anything on the mundane platform is materialistic. Right? So, but because one's performing devotional service, that will go away because the attraction, the purification is there and the attraction to Krishna is so much greater. Right? Because Maya is actually illusory. It's just that we think that it's important when it's not actually. You know what I'm saying? The activity was going on before. When we get involved, then it becomes very important, and without you being involved, it's just not happening. Right? But at the same time, as if you're not there, it still goes on. You know? So we create... Is that make sense? Mm-hmm. A person obtains some degree of eligibility to tread the path of bhakti because of his jnana, knowledge, and vairagya, and renunciation. But it cannot be taken for granted that this jnana and vairagya will be transformed into actual practice of the limbs of Shuddha Bhakti. Right? You have knowledge, you have detachment, it doesn't mean that'll be guaranteed it's transformed into bhakti. You actually have to want to engage it in the Lord's service. Does that make sense? Because bhakti means the devotion to the Lord, not knowledge and detachment. But knowledge and detachment are very useful in the practice of pure devotion. Because with proper knowledge, you're engaged in pure devotion. By detachment, you're not engaged in maya. Does that make sense? So it's useful. But it's not that it itself is the cause of bhakti. So that has to be very clearly understood. Yes.
It said that jnana and vairagya can be transformed into bhakti. It should be engaged. Can we say it's transformed?
No, it says, but it cannot be taken for granted this jnana and vairagya will be transformed into actual practice of the limbs of Shuddha Bhakti. It's worth thinking that it will be transformed. It just, if we have that, if I'm very detached and I have a lot of knowledge, I'll automatically be a good devotee. No, you have to actually make the endeavor to practice pure devotion. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, he's making comments, he's asking now, what are anything else we should know? Whatever we should know about Shuddha Bhakti or Sadhana Bhakti. So it's many times it would be taken just because I'm doing it, that's what makes it work. No, it's because you're doing it to please Krishna, that's what makes it work. Because that's what we define. You're cooking, that's just the mechanics of getting something cooked. But you're doing it for Krishna, that's devotional. You're not doing it for Krishna, then that's materialism. Right? That's illusion. So it's not the cooking that makes the devotion. We think, because I'm cooking, that's devotion. No, it's because you're doing it to please Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? But if you're cooking an offering for Krishna, then even if you're not focused on it, you're still getting the benefit of doing devotional service. But you'll get more if you're focused. Right? Does that make sense? But if you're cooking at your house, just because you're cooking, you're going to eat anyway. So if you remember Krishna, then you get that devotional benefit. Or even if you don't, if at the end afterwards, then you offer it to Krishna, you get the benefit. You know what I'm saying? But it means the more you're involved, the more benefit you get. You say, does that make sense? Yes.
Is it the most, the highest consciousness to think of the food, just only for Krishna, not food at all?
That's better, because you're trying to cook it for Krishna. You're not, you're not trying to cook it for yourself.
I just don't understand how that works when, when you need to eat, you're cooking it for Krishna. I can see how you can look at it like, I need to supply these nutrients to this body that belongs to Krishna so that I can utilize it in Krishna's service. But if you're trying to feed yourself, then how are you exactly cooking for Krishna? How can you?
No, but the point is you're cooking for Krishna. It's just something you do. It's lunchtime, Krishna eats, so therefore you're cooking for it. And then you take, as a devotee, you only take remnants from Krishna.
Yeah, I understand.
So therefore you're doing that. It's just where your focus is. You understand? It's all about focus.
But what about when you're cooking, just say you're cooking for a Sunday feast.
Right.
And you're cooking buckets and buckets of things.
Right.
So obviously, that's for the people at the Sunday feast. You're gonna
offer. No, but it's all offered to Krishna. It's all. You're cooking that all for Krishna, but you're considering the volume of persons who want to worship Krishna, and therefore take his remnants.
Okay.
Right. Devotees take Krishna's remnants. So it's you're considering about Krishna and his devotees. Because Krishna and the devotees is still Krishna.
Oh, okay.
Right. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Jnana and vairagya tend to steel and dry up the heart, whereas the effects of bhakti is soft and smooth, and thus melts the heart. However, jnana and vairagya resulting from the practice of bhakti are unquestionably accepted as part of Shuddha Bhakti. Right, so just the natural knowledge that comes from the study or use in devotional service, and renunciation that's naturally there because you're engaged in devotional service, those are all part of bhakti. But just to study, just to have knowledge, or just to be renounced, just to be renounced, that kind of thing is not so important, right? Does that make sense? Right. We don't have means. It can be is that you're part of your Western lifestyle. It doesn't necessarily have these two as so important within it. You do have, you know, elements where people can get into these things. But sometimes the devotee gets very enthusiastic. So he thinks that by being very renounced, then that's advanced. No, the point is, as we were saying, renounced is important because the space of renunciation is where the devotional service will be. Right? Because otherwise, if you're doing things for yourself and not for Krishna, there's no space for doing things for Krishna. So that means there must be renunciation that generates that space. Right? But the nice thing about bhakti is all the things that one would do for yourself, you can do for Krishna. But the point is just whether you're thinking of Krishna or thinking of yourself. Does that make sense? Is that too general?
No.
No?
What if it's sometimes hard to tell the difference, because I think I asked you this before a while ago, but I just want to get some more clarification on it, because I sort of can't believe it. It's like things that I do for Krishna I also find very pleasing.
Yeah. So what's the problem?
Well, I sometimes worry about if I'm doing it for myself or for Krishna, like I'm just gets all mixed up in there.
But the point is if Krishna is pleased, you're pleased. So if you're happy doing devotional service, that's because Krishna's happy.
Okay.
Right? So it's not a problem. Being happy is not a problem. It's being happy and not in sharing it with Krishna. That's the problem.
Okay. I just can't believe it.
But why not?
It's okay. I'll try. I don't know. I guess I've always been...
People never shared things with you?
No.
They ate the bag of chips themselves. You had to get your own bag.
I just can't believe that devotional service is so blissful.
No, that's the point. It is.
I know.
What you should not believe is how you ever thought that material life was called blissful.
I never thought that.
Like that. Okay, so this is then where jnana and vairag make the heart hard. You understand? This is an example of it. Because then, you know, nothing is actually pleasing. So how can something be so pleasing? You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, the world's, you know, tough, the world's nasty, the world's, nobody cares, this and that. So that's why these things are useful as long as it's giving up things to serve Krishna. But when we say giving up, it doesn't mean that it's not being done. It's a mentality. You know, unless the thing's useless. You know. Does that make sense? You know, taking 5 hours to take a bath. Maybe that's pretty, you know, you can do that in less time. You know. So it's just a matter of understanding that's engaging in devotional service to the positive that's actually important. The negative is there just so it ensures that the positive is going on. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. It means it can be nice, you know, like that. It's all right to be happy. It's not Maya. If it's in connection with Krishna. If it's not, then yes, it is Maya. That's why it's also recommended that one follows the Vedic system, and that everything, but Vedic system means properly with the proper mentality. Because then everything is prosperous and everybody's comfortable. So then one actually can relate to these things. But at the same time, as if it's not done in connection with devotional service, then one is happy, you know, with how things go because of the mode of goodness, but is not interested in devotional service. So it works both ways, you know. So that's the non-Vedic lifestyle makes it very obvious that the material world isn't a place of happiness, but its whole determination is that it is. So if it just happens to be your karma is not going in a great way, then you notice. But if it is, you'll never notice. Well, the Vedic is even if it's going well, you know that it's not, but you don't really worry about it because everything's going okay. But at least you have the knowledge. Right? So then that's the thing. Each thing has its strong point. Each thing has its weak point. Okay? Yeah. However, jnana and vairag resulting from the practice of bhakti are unquestionably accepted as part of shuddha bhakti. Right? So in other words, you're performing devotional service. From that, you're getting knowledge and you're getting detachment. Detachment means you'd rather be doing some service to Krishna. Right? Before, you'd rather be doing something else. But now, you'd rather be doing service to Krishna. So that vairagya, that's part of shuddha bhakti. And that knowledge about sambandha jnana or our relationship with Krishna, that's part of shuddha bhakti. Right? So, the sadhaka must carefully practice yukta vairagya and simultaneously avoid falgu vairagya, false dry renunciation. All suitable material objects may be utilized in the service of Sri Krishna simply because they belong to him. Right? Suitable material objects, they all belong to him, but it's which one you want to deal with. You know what I'm saying? It's just like the householder, right? That, as we mentioned, in the bathroom behind the toilet, there's this funny little brush. Right? So it does belong to him. But it's not something you bring out into the living room. No, but it's yours. You know, yeah, but it's not suitable. You understand? Does that make sense? So everything in the world belongs to Krishna, but then there's what's suitable. And suitable means what Krishna would like. Maybe you like, fun little brushes, but he has other ideas.
I know.
No?
No. No.
Keep your bucket nice and clean.
Now you ruined it.
Yeah. Okay. Does that make sense? It's taking the extreme, but, it means, in other words, there's all kinds of activities we may be attached to, but if they're not suitable for the situation or for our duties, then you can say no, but it's yukta vairagya. It says, but yukta vairagya means suitable. Yeah. Otherwise, where's the vairagya? All right? And where's the yukta? Yukta means it's connected to the Lord. So how is it connected to the Lord if it's unsuitable? Yeah. Yes.
Question about prasadam.
Question about prasadam. This sounds dangerous.
When we cook for Krishna, we should cook what he likes.
Yes.
But usually we find, especially from the non-Vedic type of people, who like different things. I mean, it's still...
Well, it's said before, is what you think is valuable. Specialities, this and that. That's part of the deity worship, is that, something special. It means, according to season or locale and all that, then you offer that to the deity, because you think it's important.
But will it change with the time? Your thinking?
Generally.
So finally we get into Indian style.
Yeah. But I'm saying the point is the most important is that it's being cooked for Krishna. You understand? That you're cooking according to the standards that he likes, you're offering it to him with devotion. That's the primary element. Then it's just natural, is what he kind of likes is what the direction you go. But I'm saying there's a wide range of that, so within that, then you may, emphasize more. Like on Western India, they're more into chapatis. On Eastern India, South, they're more into rice. So it just depends upon what the background is. So does that make sense?
So that's not the problem.
That's secondary. It's just there because all these, if you read what Krishna eats, he eats all of those things. It just someone will emphasize something on this side or that side. One is what's locally available, the nature of the people. Does that make sense? You're 7 foot tall, 500 pounds. You like chapatis. Like that. If you're a little smaller, then you like rice. You like to sit down and intellectualize. You're into rice. You're into physical work and chapatis. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's It's a little of both, and it's both. But it's interesting. You see the different cultures, then it's either only rice, or only chapatis, or that there's kind of, you know, chapatis with a little bit of rice, or it's half-half. But it depends kind of very much on the locale and the nature of the individual. So those things come up. Though that's not the main thing. We try to make that into the main. That's what makes it devotional or not. No, the point is if it's done for Krishna. Because the point is if you're doing it, but it should be nice. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, it's cooked properly. That's the thing. Because any cuisine cooked properly works. Any cuisine cooked badly doesn't work. Okay. You know, that's the point. Good cooking is good cooking. Bad cooking is bad cooking. It's not that it matters what it was. No, but it's bad Indian cooking. No, it's still bad cooking. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's the same thing. All suitable material objects may be utilized in the service of Sri Krishna, simply because they belong to him. However, at the same time, one must be without mundane attachment for these material objects. Handling matter in such a balanced way is known as Yukta Vairagya. So that's the thing, is it all can be, everything can be connected to him because it belongs to him. But it should be suitable, and it's without mundane attachment. Does that make sense? So the suitable is the yukta, the without mundane attachments, the vairagya.
Can you please explain why mundane attachment is disconnection?
Mundane attachment.
You still offering it to Krishna. You give it to Krishna, but...
Yeah, but it just means then it's mixed. It's not as, it's more, it's not as yukta vairagya as you would like. You know what I'm saying? Less vairagya, you know. And, you know, yeah.
What's mundane attachment like?
What's mundane attachment like means you've never experienced it, so you're asking to say, what is this? You know, we're always talking about it, but what is this? You know, it's like that. On my planet, there isn't any. I don't know what you guys are into.
No, it just makes, it implies that there's...
Pleiades, right?
Sorry?
Pleiades, right? Okay. Got the tinge of blue in it. Yes, so you're saying, sorry.
It just implies that there's a certain attachment that's okay, like transcendental attachment or something like that. Well, I mean, I know that attachment to Krishna's lotus feet.
See, attachment's not the problem, it's what you're attached to.
Attachment's not the problem?
No.
Okay, so...
The problem is if you're not attached to Krishna, that's a problem. You're attached to Krishna, that's not a problem.
But if everything is Krishna... Then how far do you go?
The point is that do you see it as Krishna?
Okay, so you can be attached to anything that you see as Krishna, and that's okay.
No, it's a matter of you're attached to Krishna.
What about Krishna's devotees?
Krishna's devotees are fine, but you know, your Louis the 14th, you know, furniture, that's, you know, that's another thing. You know what I'm saying? You know, saying the point is what are the qualities that you're attached to? And why? That's always a thing. So it's not a matter of just there's certain words and then we catch those. It's a matter of what's the actual consciousness connected to them. You know what I'm saying? The point is, you say, oh, the parent's attached, so that's bad. But the point is not the attachment that's bad, it's what's the basis of that attachment. That's the problem. The man took a chair and smashed it over the next guy's head, right? Right, because he was bothering the barmaid and she told him, leave me alone, right? Standard. Starting a fight, right? Is the problem the chair? Huh? You know what I'm saying? You know, it's the problem of how the chair is being used. It means it's like this bad chair, you know, and afterwards it's like a bad chair, bad chair. You know, it's like that. You know, it's like that, you know. Does that make sense? It's not how it's used. The point is the chair is fine. It can be used, you can sit down nicely, or you can smash it over someone's head, you know. You know what I'm saying? You put the chair like this and you sit, you know, with the back that way, right? You know, or you can tilt it down where the back is in the front. Okay, so you'll have a difference of opinion about the person's mentality, right? But is it the chair that's creating that? It means if you sat in the other way, it would have been just kind of the normal, straight, you know, professional guy, but he sat in this way, so now he's kind of the more, you know, punky, not quite sure, a little bit more on the wild side, you know, independent, you know, like that. You know, so it just depends on which way the chair was and which way you were facing when you talked to him, so that's why he sat that way. But if he sat on the sideways, you know, then that would make it somebody else, you know, something, you know what I'm saying?
I guess I was just asking, is it sometimes hard to tell? You have to really, not with most things, but certain things, it's hard to tell what your intention is. But that's for each person to look at.
Yes, that's why here the general principles are given, because each person has to work on it personally. But it takes maturity, because one can say, yes, yes, no, I've already done all that. But the point is you can say whatever you like, but Krishna's in the heart, and he knows. So you have to actually, yourself, apply it properly. You apply it properly, it works. Like that, because all Babaji Maharaj here is explaining is what has been handed down in the Parampara by the great Acharyas, that these things work. Right? They've shown by example, and they've preached this is what works. The reason they're doing it by example is because it works, not because they figured out this is the most annoying thing that you can do. It means those gross materialists, they really deserve to suffer, so we've worked out a program to really get them, you know. You know what I'm saying? You know, sit down, oh, dinner, hey, what about saying the prayer? Oh, man, pray prayer, you know, like that. You know, they did it on purpose. You know, you could have said the prayers any other time and all that, but they just didn't put it that time just to harass them. Right? Does that make sense? No, they do it because this is what's best. So that's why they chose that. So it says following that path established by the great personalities.
I've just found that sometimes you think you're doing something for Krishna or you're attached to Krishna, but then you find out that you're not.
No. The point is it's not that you're not. You're attached to Krishna, you're doing it for Krishna, but there's also other things along with it. So all you've done is noticed what's the mix. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but what about all the things you haven't noticed?
I wouldn't go there. Worry about what you are noticing and be open to that there's more to notice. But don't say there's unlimited more, and so this, then you get overwhelmed by things that aren't there. Does that make sense? So the point is that's why it's called mixed devotional service, because this is there. It's not that, oh, there never was devotion. There's not. No, it just means that it's not on the standard that's ideal, because these things are there. So it's being done, it's one's enthusiastic, but these other aspects are there. So you want to work on those. Those are what's to be removed and remain, keep the devotional service. Because it's not by giving up what's not devotional that's specifically the complete devotional package. That's only part. The other part is doing those things that are favorable. So if you stop doing things that are favorable because you say, well, I'm not devotee and I'm not doing things nicely, right? So, because I can't do the things, I can't avoid the things that are improper, so I'm not doing what's proper, that's pretty useless.
Can you
say that again? Okay. If we're doing something proper, and then we see elements that aren't proper, so therefore we give up doing the proper because we say I'm not qualified, I'm not actually doing devotional service, that's not in itself devotional service. That's not humility and all those kind of things. That's just, the point is the reason we give those things up is to improve the quality of what we're doing. So the devotional service continues, even if we notice these other things. Now we try to improve those, but it's not that getting rid of those is the devotional service. The only reason we get rid of those is it improves the quality of the devotional service. So the focus still has to be on, as the primary, on the actual positive activity, but we keep an eye on the secondary that there's no negative. Does that make sense? So both are done. It's not that it's this or it's that, which is our standard. You know, unless we're ordering at a restaurant, then we take this and that, but you know, somehow or another. Devotional life, it's only. Handling matter in such a balanced way is known as yukta vairagya. Everything is a part of Sri Krishna and has a connection to him. So when he says everything, he means everything. But the point is at this point, you take what is the everything that you're dealing with. You know, don't go in and take some outrageously, you know, absurd or
inappropriate.
Yeah, inappropriate example, because that's generally what you get for this. You know, if you're talking to a new crowd, then immediately, well, what about, you know, like this? This is why are you doing that? So what has it got to do with you? You know, so can you take heroin for Krishna? Why are you taking heroin? You know, so if you're not, then why are you asking the question?
You might start.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So the point is this, you know, what has it got to do with anything? Yeah. So the point is it's what's within your circle, within your life, that's what you worry about. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but generally they take it to these extremes, like mm-hmm. that, because everything's connected to Krishna. But point is everything is, but you know, you're not worried about, you know, that rock over there. But you know, the little 7-year-old kid is. That's a very important thing, to go check out what's under the rock and see if there's any bugs there, anything interesting. But like, the adults really couldn't care less, you know, like that. You understand? So the point is you stick to your sphere, because that's what you engage, is what is your world. Does that make sense? Devotees practicing bhakti are often graced by qualities such as sense control, discipline, cleanliness, etc., which appear naturally and without special effort. Nonetheless, they are not limbs of bhakti. These characteristics and more, such as internal and external purity, austerity, equipoise, and so on, automatically blossom in the personality of a devotee of Krishna. He does not have to make a separate effort to cultivate them. Any person who sincerely endeavors to practice any one or more of the principal limbs of bhakti, as just explained, will definitely attain perfection in spiritual life, Krishna consciousness. Right? So all these nice things, those come just because they're doing devotional service. So that's symptoms of their doing devotional service. But it's not that on the side, that's the important thing. Right? It's not that, oh, Prabhu, you're too attached. The point is no, you're not connecting things to Krishna. That's the problem. Not that you're too attached.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Because detachment without bhakti doesn't have any meaning. You understand? The difficulty is to be able to accommodate that they both work at once.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But the primary is devotional service. As a side effect of that, then you get the other thing. You don't have to work for it. You know what I'm saying? Just like, let's give an absurd example here. Okay, let us say you're eating dinner. Okay? Do you have to separately into an endeavor to get dirty dishes? No, they automatically come. Now, what if somebody feels that dirty dishes is an important element, and so they spend their time making more dishes dirty? Will you consider it important? No, it has nothing to do with the meal, right? You understand? It means you're eating. So the one you eat on, your glass gets dirty, you know, your plate gets dirty, you know, the place where you ate got dirty, you know, depending on your age and everything, you know, from basically from your head to your knees gets dirty, you know, like that. You know what I'm saying? So the point is it's automatic. You don't have to separately endeavor. But to focus on, you know, oh, okay, so, you know, a good, you know, dinner eater, you know, makes things dirty. You understand? Mm-hmm. So that's what we tend to do. Oh, you know, the austerity or the this or the that. Or that's the real devotional service. That's nothing to do with it. That just comes automatically. So we don't separately endeavor for them. You know? Mm-hmm. You think, no, but you have to be humble. Humility automatically comes by just doing your service. Because sometimes it goes nice and sometimes it doesn't. And when it doesn't, that's where humility comes in. Right? When it goes nice, then it's fine. When it doesn't, that's where tolerance comes in. You understand? Yes.
Right, but scriptures say that you should cultivate emotional qualities.
You cultivate, but how do you cultivate them? Because what is
practicing?
By practicing what?
Emotional service.
Yes. You cultivate those by practicing devotional service. Because the point is, it's in your devotional service, you have to deal with the devotees. And dealing with the devotees, sometimes it doesn't always go the way you expect. So then the point is how you're supposed to deal with devotees.
Nicely.
So now it's not going the way you expect. So what are the qualities that you have to use? Right? Humility, tolerance, forbearance, forgiveness, all these nice qualities. You don't have to separately cultivate them. You simply have to apply them when they're appropriate within the devotional process. If one's purified, one does it automatically. But if one, you know, as you know, in the process of becoming purified, that may not be automatic. So therefore, you have to concentrate on. But you're only concentrating on when they come up in the devotional service. You know what I'm saying? You don't go down and lay down in the front there of Lord Chaitanya's temple there, you know, as the, you know, take the foot mat, move it, lay down there, you know, to practice humility or something. Does that make sense? You know, ride on the bus, you know, spend the whole day riding from, get on the bus here, ride to Krishnagar back and forth a few times to develop, you know, how you say, tolerance.
I once went to the FRO three times because they're closed. So that was three times back and forth.
Yes.
That was horrible.
But that's your opportunity to develop tolerance.
Yeah. It worked.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
I understand what you said, but then how does it work for the internal and external purity? Like it says it automatically blossoms.
Yes.
We take bath, that's like external purity.
Right. But why are you taking bath?
To go to the temple.
Therefore, it's automatic. External cleanliness is automatic. Right? But if you're not going to the temple, all kinds of people take bath because, you know, they're worried about their personal hygiene and how others will perceive them and this and that. You understand? So you're doing it because it pleases Krishna, it pleases the Vaishnavas. Does that make sense? Is that okay? So he's pointing out as these are noticed. In other words, you don't go against these things because these qualities are natural in devotional service. So you don't manifest bad qualities while you're doing service. But the point is in the devotional service, then you're endeavoring to apply these simply because they make the devotional service go properly because it pleases Krishna, not because it on its own is an important quality. You understand? It's only important because it's one of Krishna's qualities. But to see it separate from Krishna, then that's just pious. To see it connected to Krishna, that's devotional. Right? So that means, that's what it means, is everything's accomplished by devotional service. Yeah, but we're not used to that. That is because the whole point is everything in the creation is only meant for serving Krishna. Every situation is for Krishna. Every interaction, every relationship is for serving Krishna. But we're not used to that, so we think it's something separate. But all it is just whatever is going on, whatever we're doing, just do it for Krishna. And so each situation requires certain qualities, certain kinds of mentalities, certain facilities. And so all those things automatically are there if we're focused on doing it nicely for Krishna. Right? Does that make sense?
And if we see it doesn't develop so much?
If it doesn't develop so much, then...
What is the fault? With us. It's not in the process.
It's just a matter of, means that will be where there's more, attachment or impurity or conditioning. So it just takes a little longer, that side. Because that's why you see some things come up very quickly and other things a little more slowly. So where it's slowly, that's just where one has spent more time in the material world cultivating those not-so-important qualities. Right? So it's just a matter of time. So but you spent time in London, or? Yeah. Oh, okay. I was just wondering why.
I went to New York.
Oh, okay. Okay. So that was the local church rather than the... Yes.
You were saying before that there's certain things like Krishna we can be attached to and things to do in relation to Krishna, but it says that you must do your service without attachment. So if you're doing that for Krishna, then what? I'm just confused on that.
But when we use that word attachment, what do we mean? Because, like, the next stage after ruchi is called asakti, which means attachment. You understand? So there's a context. Right? So there it means without material attachment. So if it's without material attachment, since the jiva by nature is attached, right, it's a dependent entity. So that means, that would be inferring there, means with spiritual attachment, but without material attachment.
But doesn't it say without attachment to the result?
But result for who?
Krishna.
No, so you're not attached to getting the result for Krishna.
Well, I thought we were.
Yes, we're not attached to getting the result for ourselves. So whenever it's referring to these qualities in the negative, it means mundane. But that means then they should be applied in the positive. In other words, we shouldn't be attached to the result for ourselves, but we should be attached to getting a good result for Krishna. But that's only because it pleases Krishna. But he's the supreme controller, so if it doesn't come, then we'll keep trying until we get it. But if we're just attached to getting a result, that's also a problem. But even though it's not for ourselves, we're just attached. Our attachment is getting results, right? My ego is the result getter person, right? So then you'll have a problem because Krishna will just automatically make it. You can't get any results, you know. And the thing was before I joined Krishna consciousness, I was so successful. Now I can't do anything. So then the thing is either you surrender or they go back to doing what they were before.
Yeah, because I was trying to figure out how you get a good result for Krishna without any attachment at all. Like, then you wouldn't, how could you ever get a good result?
No, but you're not attached for yourself. Yeah. So there's no mundane obstacle in getting a good result for Krishna.
Yeah.
Is that okay? Any person who sincerely endeavors to practice any one or more of the principal limbs of bhakti, as just explained, will definitely attain perfection in spiritual life. Krishna practices any one of the more principal limbs, right? So we can take that as meaning these main five, or seeing this total, these 64, as items of pure devotional service, right?
Yeah.
Then that will be,
yeah.
I have thus narrated everything about Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti in a nutshell. You may try to implement these instructions to the best of your ability. Rajanath and Vijay Kumar prostrated themselves before the lotus feet of Sri Raghunath Das Babaji Maharaj and said humbly, O Gurudev, please be merciful upon us and save us from the deep well of false pride in which we are drowning. Raghunath Das Babaji replied, Sri Krishna will certainly bestow his blessings upon you. Right, because their attitude is good, so definitely.
Yeah.
Through the reassuring silence of the late night, uncle and nephew returned home. their hearts humming with elation and their minds meditating upon the teachings they had just received from Sri Raghunath Das Babaji Maharaj. Okay. I actually got through. But it's interesting. It took a while for them.
Yeah.
Because that was the conclusion.
Yeah.
I think so. Six systems, part two. Six systems, part one. Jai the Dharma, part five. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Part five, chapters 21 to 30. Same size print. Summary of chapter 21. Nitya Dharma, Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana, part 9. Abhideya, Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. Right, so you can see it's just going through everything as the nectar of devotion is going. Right? So the Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana is how everybody, you know, all the acharyas write in this way. Vijay Kumar and Rajanath felt that the instructions of Sri Raghunath Das Babaji Maharaj radiated a sublime calm, which soothed away any doubts from their minds. They therefore arrived at a joint decision to immediately take initiation from him. So, early the next morning, they set off for Sri Vasangan, determined to take initiation from Raghunath Das Babaji that very morning. After sanctifying themselves in the holy waters of the Ganga and decorating their bodies with tilak upon the 12 places with the appropriate mantras, they arrived at Mayapur Sri Vasanga, where they prostrated themselves before Sri Raghunath Das Babaji. Though he had intuited their attention, he nevertheless asked, "What brings you here so early this morning?" They replied, "O revered Gurudev, we are helpless and spiritually destitute. Please be so kind to take us under your shelter." Raghunath Das Babaji then invited them to come into his hut, one after the other, where he initiated them with the 18-syllable Krishna mantra. Upon beginning to chant this potent mantra, they became intoxicated and exultant, exclaiming aloud, "All glories to Sri Gauranga, all glories to Sri Gauranga." Raising their arms, they began to dance with graceful postures. Right, so I guess that's Jai Sachi Nanda now, right? The initial stirrings of ecstatic symptoms were obvious as unrestrained tears flowed from their eyes. Raghunath Das Babaji was much moved and embraced each of them, saying, "Today you have sanctified me." Brajanath and Vijay Kumar fell at his feet and smeared their heads and bodies with the dust of his feet. From that day on, Brajanath and Vijaya started a new daily routine. They took an early morning dip in the Ganga, offered obeisances at the lotus feet of Srila Gurudev, saw the deities in the temple, circumambulated them, offered worship and water to Tulsi, and so forth. They made an effort to learn and practice a new devotional observance every day to help them make swift spiritual progress. A week later, they visited Sri Vasangan in the evening after completing their daily brahminical duties. After attending the evening artik in the temple, they went to see their Gurudev in his bhajan kutir. Offering obeisances, they sat down and asked, "Dear Guruji, by your blessings we have a clear concept of Vaidhi Bhakti Sadhana. Although we are most degraded, our earnest desire is that you kindly explain to us the precepts of Raghunuga Bhakti." Right, so now if they say, "We are most degraded," what does this mean? Right? They're high grade, it means highest grade, smarta Brahmin families.
Still just in the mode of goodness.
Yeah, means that, in other words, the degradation means it's material, not spiritual. Right? Right? They know that they're not, you know, pulling the Jagai Madai. You know, if Jagai Madai say, "We are most degraded," it has a slightly different meaning. Right? Does that make sense? So the point being that material is degraded, spiritual is appropriate. Does that make sense? Okay. Right, because otherwise we tend to see the secondary aspects of devotional service as actually primary. But it's not. It's the devotion that's real, and anything else is not. Right? Anything else has reality if it's connected to Krishna. Right? Raghunath Das Babaji was overjoyed at this request and said, "My sons, our beloved Lord Sri Chaitanya has endorsed your initiation. Hence, there is nothing that cannot be revealed to you. Listen very carefully as I explain the principles of Raghunuga Bhakti. As a preamble to the subject of Raghunuga Bhakti, I want to delineate the symptoms of Ragatmika Bhakti." Right? Because here is taking Raghunuga, then there's Ragatmika. So technically means, we're making the distinction here, Raghunuga means you're following in the footsteps of someone that has rag or attachment to the Lord. So Raghunuga means in the footsteps of someone with rag. So Ragatmika means rag is their life. So we're taking that those on the platform of prema, that's Ragatmika. Right? But still, the mentality is even when it's on that platform of Ragatmika, you're still Raghunuga of the Ragatmikas ahead of you. Does that make sense? So to say that at this point we're Raghunuga, then we become Ragatmika, that's simply making a distinction between sadhana and prema. All right? But it doesn't mean that then we give up the position of following in the footsteps of previous acharyas. That's always there. So we'll always be Raghunuga. We're following their Ragatmika, you know, mood. Does that make sense? Because sometimes that distinction is too strongly made, right? Does that make sense? Because technically you can say, Radharani, she's Ragatmika. Everybody else is actually Raghunuga. But they're on the platform of prema. So distinguish between those on the platform of prema and those that are not on the platform. Therefore, it's called Ragatmika and Raghunuga. Does that make sense?
Why is steadiness so pleasing to Krishna?
Steadiness. Would you like it one day the guy was really nice and all that, and the next day, he doesn't even pay attention and notice you're there, and the next day then he's great again, and the next day he's completely crazy and yeah, or you go, you have your favorite preparation, you eat it, it's ecstatic, the next day it doesn't have any salt, the next day it's half cooked, the next day it's overcooked. Or would you like it every day to be the same? Right? Means these world food chains.
Yeah.
What about it is impressive? That no matter what country you go, no matter what time of day or night, it always tastes the same. Right? So it's consistency.
Yeah.
So that's what you like about something. There's a consistent quality. Right? You walk into the place, it's a boutique, it's all expensive, high quality stuff. You tell your friends, they go the next day, and it's all schlock. Is that going to work for you? No. What about if you hadn't taken your friends? As long as the price is good, then you understand. Consistency is what people appreciate. Right? They like variety, but there has to be that consistency in the quality. Consistency in the experience. There can be a variegated experience within the of that consistent quality that you expect. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. So on this note, I mean, we're all chanting according to what's his name? Prema Vaivarta, I can't remember. He's explaining that they're all chanting Gora. Yeah, Gora, Gora, Gora. Like that. Huh? Yeah, that's it. I mean, they do it all day, these guys. He says they're all chanting Gora's name. Right. So in the Dham, it's not a matter of, oh, this is inauspicious. They're just chanting Gauranga's name. Outside the Dham, then it's inauspicious. But around here, they're just chanting Gauranga's name. Like Prabhupada said, I think there's a vulture. He was sitting on top of the temple. So the devotees said, "What does that mean, Prabhupada?" He says, "It means the vulture had to sit somewhere." Right, they always sit on something high, so that was how he sat there. It doesn't have any, mundane, omen kind of thing. That's outside the Dham. Inside the Dham, you don't worry about those things. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jaya Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki,
Jaya
Nityananda Gaura Prabhupada ki.